The story is told of a student who approached an old rabbi and said, "Rabbi, in the old days, there were women and men who saw the face of God. Why doesn't this happen anymore?" And the old rabbi looked at the young student and said, "It's really very simple. Women and men fail to see the face of God today because they will not stoop sufficiently low." The words of that rabbi teach all of us. The God of Isaiah is known from the vantage point of the suffering servant. Today's first reading. The God of James is known in the bending of our lives in the service of other people. Second reading from James today. And the God of Jesus is known in the suffering and the rejection and the agony of the cross. Today's gospel. The words of the rabbi teach us, and all three of the readings today correspond in teaching the same lesson, that our God, the living God, is known only by those people who are willing to bend low enough to see. Today, these are not fashionable words. We, each one of us, are just exactly like Peter in today's gospel. Not a single one of us wishes to hear those words because we become uncomfortable. And yet the entire task of Christian religion is to speak that message, which turns out to be good news. But so much of what is called, quote unquote, religious today has nothing to do with God. And so much that is, quote unquote, Christian today has nothing to do with Jesus. Rather, the cross, for too many people, has simply become a piece of jewelry, a little pendant that hangs from the neck and decorates a person's front. And with Peter, we do not want to hear the word of the cross. Rather, we would prefer the decorative bauble piece of jewelry. And then all of us see on television the trendy, quote-unquote, religious programs, with the preachers mouthing platitudes while maintaining an infectious smile. Everything is so well orchestrated. The unctuous voice, the fountains and the palms in the background, the groups of young, vigorous, perfectly groomed singers, and below on the screen, the local telephone number. One wonders if anywhere in that group there might be any room for anyone who happens to be crippled or hurting or happens to be wounded in spirit or in body. The group is always so neat. The guaranteed neatness of a plastic product that is designed for mass consumption. And how easily that plastic product goes down our throat. And that's why it should be no surprise that the plastic message does not provide nourishment that leads to religious growth. Too much of TV, quote-unquote, religion, is simply the cross of Jesus Christ compromised. Compromised in competition with a gong show, so that one is really reminded of what Kierkegaard said, in his comment that religion, that kind of religion, easily can become an antibiotic that effectively immunizes the recipient against the real thing. The word religion simply means to bind. The image is of binding a person to the deepest level of reality. And all three of today's readings are true religion, because each of them fastens us firmly to that reality that Holy Scripture so happily calls the rock of our salvation, the rock of liberation and healing. Now, the uncomfortable fact is that the binding agent is the cruel combination of wood, and nails. And that just might sound too harsh for some of us. After all, Holy Scripture so often speaks of the living God as light and truth and love. And the early Christian community had as its rallying cry, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not die, but may have eternal life. Now that's comforting. But that cry was not intended to comfort the comfortable. Rather, it was intended to disturb the comfortable. The community of the early church is saying that we look at this man, Jesus, and we know that our God has touched us in him. And we look at the cross, and we understand how dangerous it is. We understand how dangerous it is when the living God comes to human life, when the living God enters our life. God has loved us. But John says this love is not some kind of abstract, metaphysical quality that we tend to attribute to a divine divinity that is far, far away in the sky. But rather, this God is as close to us as we are to ourselves, and this God is as down to earth as the helpless cry of the abandoned man in the reading from James today, who asks for food and clothing, and we say goodbye and good luck. Jesus saw the face of God because, to borrow the words of the rabbi, Jesus was willing to stoop low, to stoop even to the utmost lowliness when he was lifted up on the cross. All of us, by human nature, have a tendency always to arrange to have the living God come to us on our own terms, as a peacemaker, as a friend, as a healer. And we ignore the God who wishes to come to us in terms of the New Testament. The God who comes in pain and in suffering and in helplessness. Do we really want to meet God in Jesus? If we do, all we need do is reread today's gospel, because the directions are clear, distressingly clear. If a person wishes to come after me, that person must deny his very self, take up his cross, and follow in my footsteps. In the second century, There's a writing called The Shepherd of Hermas, a Christian writing that reflects on the coming of the living God in the man Jesus. And the writing, The Shepherd of Hermas, tells us that, quote, "The living God does not leave us until he has broken our hearts and our bones. The living God does not leave us until he has broken our hearts and our bones." The God of love, of light, and of truth, the God of the crucified, is not a triune teddy bear, mama, papa, and baby God, to whom we can snuggle up in cozy comfort. Rather, the God of the gospel is that of love in action. And that's the whole point. As Dostoevsky has said, love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in our dreams. And if the God of Jesus comes into our lives, then our hearts and our bones will be broken, little by little. For as James tells us, God's presence is faith expressed in deeds. God's presence is faith expressed in action. And that is the kind of love that the living God demands of every single person who decides to follow Jesus. In reality, that love has been there in your life all the while. In all of the events, so often where you did not even recognize him, all of you people living in the difficult marriage vocation are called to love actively, to remain faithful to each other even in those hours and days of deep, deep hurt. Marriage is a call to become vulnerable to one another. And that is an active kind of love that more often than you suspect becomes harsh and dreadful when it no longer is romantic and no longer the love of dreams. And those of you who live the single life, how often the gospel calls upon you to live in a way that is in conflict with the accepted standards of American comfortable living. And all of us who have accepted the sacrament of confirmation, where we confirmed our commitment and baptism, the Lord has taken our word seriously. And he does say to us, he calls us by name. Even though he loves us tenderly, he says, if you do wish really to come after me, you must learn day by day to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow. Now here's the good news. This is not a negative command, but rather these are the most positive words you've heard all week long. This is a totally life-giving, life-affirming message. This is the mysterious paradox and the irony of Christianity. The Lord gives us the words of a healing promise that whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, the good news, will save it. That's the only way you will find out who you are and what life is all about. That is today's invitation. We are all being invited to bend low, to bend low enough with Jesus, to bend low enough to see the face of the living God.